Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It is hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're standing by for Jared Sandler. He's his updates every Rangers game day brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. They're going to host the Twins coming up pregame at 6:30. First pitch at 7:05 here on the Rangers. We just had Alejandro Osuna back on at 3:20. And he's fantastic. Got to love the attitude on this guy. And wishing him nothing but the best. He's been on fire in the month of September. Looking forward to asking Jared about him and other stuff. And here's Sands, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Jared, how the heck are you?
What's up? How's it going?
Oh, good. You know, always a little bit brighter in the wake of an Alejandro Osuna conversation. One of my favorite Rangers. He's been great this month. What's his outlook for 2026 right now, Sands?
He'll probably go to camp, competing for a spot. I don't know. You know, if that is as a platoon pairing in the outfield or just as a general backup outfielder, I don't think, hopefully you got Wyatt Langford and Evan Carter healthy. I don't think that he would go to camp where we're like, hey, like this guy is likely going to be the everyday, left fielder or right fielder. What the Rangers do with Adolis Garcia obviously, impacts that conversation, but I think that, Alejandro Osuna is a guy that right now, is someone who will go to camp and we'll be discussing, is he on the team or is he not on the team? And I think, for a guy like that, it kind of is impacted by, what moves they make and where he fits. Because I don't think he's a guy right now that, they would want to put out there against a left-handed pitcher. And so you already have Evan Carter. Even though Jock Peterson's not an outfielder, you have Jock Peterson under contract for next year. So, if you have three guys, two of whom are outfielders who you don't want in there against lefties, you just got to make sure that you've got the right pieces to accommodate that. What they do this offseason, what moves they make, I think will impact the outlook for Alejandro. But Alejandro jogging out in Philadelphia on opening day, for the Rangers is not something that I think is far-fetched at all.
Were you just shagging fly balls back there? Sound like you were getting after it pretty good.
No, I was jogging down some steps. I was hoping that you didn't hear the bouncing in my voice. But, yeah, I was going down some steps. My bad.
It's Jared Sandler here with you in the G-Bag Nation. You did mention Dolly. This is probably his last two series. Should the Rangers make sure he gets in there and hears it from the home crowd here in the next three nights?
It's interesting. And you say that, Gavin, and, I understand exactly where you're coming from. And I think the reality is that, you could be, if a Ranger fan is so inclined to come out here because, Adolis is his or her favorite player and he is the favorite player of so many. And you're wondering, hey, should I wait till next year to see him in a Rangers uniform again or this year? I would say that, why wait? Why don't you come out and see him, see him? I don't know. And guys, you guys are laughing and I get it. The Rangers have a decision to make with him and he's not the only one. He's not a free agent, but the Rangers could do what's, called non-tender him. Which would then make him a free agent if the Rangers don't want to pay the money that he would get in arbitration. And I think with Adolis, just, we've talked about it. The Rangers' offense, their lineup has not performed at a level that, you know, I think they would have expected, or any of us would have expected, now for 2 years in a row. And when that's the case, you know, maybe last year you can justify because of this reason and that reason, but you can't do that 2 years in a row. And so changes are going to be made. And, you know, I think you could look at changing his role, but because of the arbitration process, he's not someone that is going to just cost you a couple million. Right. And so, I kind of want to lay that out there for people who might be wondering, well, you know, what's Gavin talking about? You know, that's going to be a tough decision because of what he's meant to this organization. So, yeah, I hope he gets out there, and I hope fans show him the love and appreciation that a guy who, you know, frankly, he might not have been he was game one of the World Series hero, but, you know, he didn't really get a play the World Series after the injury, but they don't get there without him, right? You know, what he did in the ALCS is not
proper
just legendary
legend
to this organization. Yeah, I mean, he broke a major league record, with RBIs in a postseason and RBIs in a single series. So, I guess I would say to Rangers fans, if you're here tonight, tomorrow, or Thursday, you want to give a little extra oomph and cheering on Adolis, might not be an awful idea.
You know, I think it's a big topic, especially relative to how much they're going to spend. Yesterday, CY telling us they're not going to spend as much as they had the last 3 years. Where's the hope for this team, I think, moving forward with the prospect rankings not being that high, either I think 19th or 26th on ESPN and MLB? What can they do to keep their window open? Is this really just about Peterson, Berger, Young, and maybe a couple of other guys just being a lot better next year?
Yeah, I mean, I know this is such a cliche thing to say, but it's so true. I mean, you know, you need Jacques to be the guy that he's been post-injury, right? And that's not asking a lot. That's not a 900 OPS guy. That's, you know, a mid-700s OPS guy who gets on base. If you can just have that, that's going to make a big difference, right? If you can get more of the second half Jake Berger. Now, Jake's a guy who's, you know, and he'll even tell you he's kind of a streaky player, but he makes his money because when those streaks are pointing in the right direction, you know, he's really impactful, and he can win you a whole lot of ball games over a two, three week stretch. You need health, right? If Marcus Semien, is going to be hitting in a leveraged spot, you need him to produce like that guy. Now they do need to make some moves, right? I mean, if we're talking about this guy not being here, that guy not being here, obviously you got to fill those spots of people, but it might not be the sexy big name free agent, right? It might not be Kyle Schwarber, who I don't foresee leaving Philadelphia. It's not going to be maybe an Alex Bregman who might stay with Boston or end up going to the Dodgers like everyone else, or, you know, wherever. But that doesn't mean that you can't find guys. I mean, just as a weird example, look at the way that Cody Freeman, Michael Hellman, and Alejandro Osuna helped kind of supplement the lineup for a stretch. Now, instead of those guys, and maybe those guys are some of the answers next year, but now take a guy who's had a track record of being a successful major league role player, which would suggest simply that, you know, you have trust that he can do it over the course of a season. Sometimes those guys are more than enough. And it's not like this lineup's going to be void of superstar talent. You're going to have Seager. You're going to have, you know, another year of experience for Wyatt Langford. You're going to hopefully have a healthy Evan Carter, and you're hopefully going to get production like we talked about from Berger and Peterson. It's not like they don't have big names, but what they do to supplement and create some depth, I think, is going to be really vital to this lineup producing at a high level.
What do you think the future at catcher is looking like? Higgy's been pretty good this year, but, you know, for Jonah as well, who had a tremendous 2023 season, he just hasn't quite been the same player.
Yeah, you know, I think at some point, the laundry list, not that it has to be done one by one, but, you know, with Higgy, you know, unless they were to trade Higgy, Higgy's under contract, right? So he'll be back. Jonah is under control, but not necessarily under contract, right? It's a similar situation where the Rangers have the rights to Jonah through the arbitration process, and they have to decide whether or not, you know, that's the decision that, you know, they want to make to move forward. Now, Jonah's a, you know, Gold Glove level catcher. Offensively, he didn't have the type of year that, you know, that, that, you know, I think he would want to have. Now, I talked to a couple pitchers the other day, and those guys love throwing to him. And I think that counts for something. But, you know, that doesn't mean that the Rangers don't need to get more out of him. And so I think the decision is, hey, this is a guy who, if we're having him be, you know, 1B to Higgy's 1A, is the bang for the buck worth it, you know, with what he's giving you? And maybe the answer is yes, because he's not going to be a $10 million player. But if they feel like they need to get more in some capacity, then maybe they look to see what's out there. You know, the question then is, all right, well, who is out there? And is that person going to be able to give you maybe not necessarily more offensively, because there are going to be some guys out there who the last few years, their offensive numbers have been better, but maybe some guys out there who total package, can they give you what, you know, you've gotten from Jonah Heim? So, you know, it's another question that they're going to have to answer. And, you know, at some point, and I know we you know, go through this exercise with a lot of our teams, you know, when you have a down year, you kind of want to change this guy and that guy and these three guys and, you know, another two guys. But at some point, time runs out, right? And you know, front offices only really have the bandwidth to do so much. It's really tough to have a total turnover, especially when you don't have blank checks that you can write. So, you know, I think they're going to have to weigh priorities and figure out, you know, where they really can make their gains and where maybe they need to kind of go back to the well and work on improving and evolving the guys that they already have. And frankly, Zach, the teams who you see in the postseason year after year are oftentimes the ones who they do both, right? They're going to go out and externally they're going to make improvements, but they also are going to figure out how to solve some of the puzzles, you know, in players who maybe didn't perform quite at the level that you expected, and getting them maybe not back to where you had initially expected, but at least improving upon where they were the previous year.
Hey, Jared, with this being the last week of the season, really, and you're in a situation, too, where CY is talking about wanting to win all these games, and that's just a competitor. How hard is the last week of a season on a team that is out of it and kind of making plans for the offseason?
Well, I think it's for you know, Chris Young and Ross Fenstermaker and their team, it's probably really hard, because it's the end of officially the Rangers will likely be mathematically eliminated tonight or tomorrow, just playing the numbers. And, you know, that puts an end to the hope and dream of, you know, this team doing what they did in 2023, or even, you know, less than that, just getting to the playoffs and establishing, like, there's great value in just establishing, hey, we're a perennial playoff team.
Right.
You know, that's who we are. And so, you know, I think that's frustrating. I think for some of the players, you know, there probably is that window where, you know, it's really frustrating and disappointing, and then you understand and come to terms with the reality, and now you're just trying to, hey, let's play out the year and sprint through the finish line. I will say this, Rod, we talked on the postgame show the other day. You know, what do you want to see over the last week? And
right,
you can get into a lot of trouble really basing, you know, large scale evaluations on 1 week of, I don't want to say meaningless games, but games in which, you know, your team is not still competing for a playoff spot. But I do think, you know, like I thought about it a little bit. All right, well, what would my best answer to that question be? I want to see which guys, when they're in the lineup, are still going to be, you know, playing their ass off.
Right.
And who are the guys who, when they're not playing, they're going to be top step of the dugout cheering their teammates on? Or, you know, who are the guys who are just going to be super checked out? You know, and I don't know. I mean, listen, if you, one of your superstars is checked out, what do you know? You're not going to necessarily do anything about it. But I'd certainly feel good if this team played hard. And here's the thing, too. Hopefully this charges them up a little bit. This weekend, they're probably going to be playing in some super meaningful games. They're back on national TV on Saturday. The Guardians are going to either be fighting for a division or a playoff spot. And so you're going to have eyes on you. You're going to be playing meaningful games. And, you know, I hope they don't. I hope the Astros don't make the playoffs, but I also hope that the Rangers don't lay down and they play hard and at least, you know, have a little bit of a positive taste going into the offseason.
Thank you, Sands. Have a great night.
I don't want the Astros to make the playoffs, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure them. Yeah. We need the players to step in here and do the right thing. Appreciate you, buddy. Have a good one. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Jared Sandler has your Rangers pregame coming up at 6:30 here on 105.3 The Fan. And, yeah, I hope there's enough hatred there inside the Rangers clubhouse. I think organizationally, you got to go for it. Every game is its own special entertainment package, and the league doesn't want you tanking. I think CY made that clear to us yesterday.
But the problem is you got guys that are working on getting their families out of town and back to Arizona and back to California and back to Florida and places that they live.
You got to give the young guys the day off and give the old guys, you know, a special assignment here.
Yeah.
This one's for you, Jock Peterson. I know you have no interest in improving that 180 batting average today, do you? We can't stomach the idea of having nothing go right the entire season and then winning when the Astros need us to win. Right. That would be a special kind of torture here for Rangers fans. I don't want to see it. Brian Dantzel covers college football, and he joins us next for a conversation about the college pigskin here on the...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Nation. We have college football analyst Brian Dantzel set to join us here, talk about week five of the college football season. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. It's the Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And a good afternoon, Brian. How the heck are you?
Boys, how's it going? A little, I'm going to beat you to Friday. A little, what you drinking, what you thinking. I got a little Bibb and Tucker tenure here for you guys.
Oh, I like that. And you got a Bibb and Tucker what?
Tenure.
Oh, 10-year. Oh, very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Sipping it. And what you thinking? Stuff. What you thinking going into this week?
You know, I hear the John Mateer injury, and I kind of take a look at what Oklahoma has ahead of it. You know, if they don't get past Texas, if they lose to South Carolina, their schedule might be toast. They've got every game after South Carolina is currently inside the top 20. So they may be done for the season if he does not return in time.
That'd be quite a hit. And what do you think about A&M strength here now coming off the big win and getting ready for Auburn? Do you think the Aggies are a legit top 10 team?
I think they are. They've definitely bounced back from their regular from a couple seasons ago, and so now they're back and they're kind of in the thick of things, right? Like, think about the state of football, state of college football in the state of Texas right now. You've got TCU, who's playing out of their minds right now with a great quarterback in Josh Hoover. You've got Texas Tech and doing what they're doing with Baron Morton, and unfortunately, hopefully Baron Morton isn't out for too long. But when you throw Texas's name, Texas A&M's name into the mix, they're finally kind of back to where we expected them to be. They've got a number of tests here coming up. Ole Miss is definitely going to prove to be something that they won't have to deal with Ole Miss this year. But it's just their schedule is going to be very, very tough moving forward. We'll see how they fare.
Oklahoma State, they made the move, Brian. They fired Mike Gundy. I know you got to catch up with him during Big 12 media days. Was this a surprising departure, and where does Oklahoma State go from here?
You know, Zach, it was very kind of eye-opening. Think about this real quick. Mike, he's 58 years of age. For 35 years of his life, he's been on campus either as a student, a player, a coach, an assistant coach, at his university and alma mater. He's now gone. We talked to him during Big 12 media days just to kind of find out what he was dealing with exactly this season. He was bringing in a brand new quarterback in Hoss Haney. Hoss Haney ends up getting injured in the second drive of their season. And then it just goes lost from there. Zane Flores couldn't pick it up for him. And at the end of the day, you kind of get the results that you get. Now, that being said, how kind of apropos would have been had Gundy been released yesterday? Mainly because it was the 18th anniversary of I'm a man, I'm 40. So, and think about this, guys. They let him talk about the game upcoming this week yesterday, only to come back and fire him today. So what happened from the time that he took the mic yesterday to this morning where they released him? It's kind of an interesting move. Where they go from here, Zach, you know, I have no idea. There's a number of names that are coming into play. I don't like playing the speculation game, but take a look at some of the defensive coordinators remaining in the Big 12. I think Shiel Wood out of Texas Tech might be a name that you see. But he's in his first year at Texas Tech, and Lord knows that Cody Campbell's got Texas Tech pumped full of money at this point, and why would you even leave there when they should be a powerhouse here come this season?
Hey, Brian, what they did was they came up with the money to get rid of him is what happened. They tried. That's what happened. They probably got him yesterday if they got the final bit of money to get him out of there. I was going to ask you this. I was going to ask you this question because Texas with a week off, and then we're hypersensitive of what's going on with Arch Manning at Texas, and you got the SEC schedule coming up. Is Texas's defense good enough to carry them and into the SEC championship game?
You know, it's going to have to be. But I will tell you this, Brian. At the end of the day, when you start to take a look at Texas's schedule, it's not as daunting as other SEC teams on in their gamut that they've got to run through. They get to go to Florida this week. Obviously, we all know that Florida is a little bit down at this point, and probably this is probably the week that ends up getting Napier fired. Then you play Oklahoma, where they don't have their starting quarterback. You're at Kentucky. You're at Mississippi State. You play a Vanderbilt team with Diego Pavia, quarterback, who just beat Mississippi State a couple weeks ago in Starkville. But again, like, you see Georgia, and then you get A&M on Friday night after Thanksgiving. So, again, when you start to take a look at the landscape of SEC play remaining and take a look at everybody's schedule, I think Texas and their defense should be able to hold themselves fine. But you bring up a really interesting point. We talked about Arch Manning. Should people be wary of where Texas is at with their offense and Arch Manning at this point? You know, he had a great game, but let's be real. It was Sam Houston State. Sure. He does have a huge test in Florida coming up, and hopefully they don't put him through the ringer. We know that Florida can be beat at home. They got by South Florida there. But again, you know, heading into the Oklahoma game, that will essentially be the true test to see whether or not this Longhorns defense can hold up to go along with Arch Manning's play.
Brian Dantzel covers college football for Elite Media Network. Brian, how confident are you that Arch will eventually develop into a big college winner and a first-round caliber quarterback?
You know, only time will tell. It just turns into one of those, look, you thrust a kid who had to sit behind a quarterback for 2 years, all the talk of, you know what your last name is, we all know what you're getting paid in NIL. It just comes down to, can the kid play? And so I think what you're seeing now is you're kind of seeing the progression of him, right? Yes, again, we just talked about playing Sam Houston State, but these next couple of weeks will be vital to his progression as a quarterback and to see whether or not he can get to that space. Again, you're going to the swamp in Florida. We know that Florida is going to throw their front seven at you, and he's going to be running for a little bit of that game, right? But lucky enough for him, running is one of his specialties. So it's going to turn into, all right, these next few weeks are going to tell us truly what Arch Manning's going to be. But again, that schedule being what it is, when you're at Kentucky and you're at Mississippi State, some of these games he should be able to dominate because, again, it's not an LSU. It's not Ole Miss. You know, he gets Georgia and A&M like we talked about at the end of the season. He's going to be able to ease into this. And as speculation goes, it sounds like he is coming back for his fourth season, which then will give him even more time to get better to where he's at. And so I think by that point in time, we'll know exactly what Arch Manning should look like.
Brian, who gets the main screen? Who gets more attention with the 6:30 kickoffs, Bama, Georgia, Oregon, Penn State? Which game's got your attention?
you know, it's definitely going to have to be Oregon, Penn State, right? We had Oregon last week in the Civil War in Eugene. I saw what their quarterback, Dante Moore, looked like. They are a primed machine. You know, when Oregon goes undefeated last year, ends up winning the Big Ten, and all of a sudden they get to Rose Bowl and they lay an egg against Ohio State, who goes on to win the national championship. Oregon is just one of those teams, and Dan Lanning is just one of those coaches that basically looked at his team and said, look, you guys can beat whoever the hell you want during your regular season, but if you don't get it done in the college football playoff, then nobody's going to be talking about us. That being said, James Franklin never shows up in any of these games mm-hmm. with Penn State. And so it just turns into how good is Oregon at this spot? And so I truly believe that, you know, in my mind, and thank goodness I've got the Notre Dame-Arkansas game this week for yeah. Elite Media Network. So we'll kick off at 11 Central. We'll be able to see each and every one of those plays for Oregon and Penn State. And I look for another Big Ten classic out of those two teams.
All right, so getting to see Arkansas hosting Notre Dame. I mean, how hot is this seat for Sam Pittman? I know a lot of alums have already been calling for him to be let go.
Yeah, it sounds like Sam Pittman is in an area where he just can't defend himself at this point. It is an untenable situation where, you know, a huge loss to Notre Dame, which I kind of truly anticipate, this could be it for Sam Pittman. And I, you know, I'm not, just like you in the room, I'm not one for calling for anybody's job, but it just turns into, look, he is in an area where now he's lost his last two games. He wins his first two against nobodies. And now here's your test. Can you withstand the SEC schedule by losing to Notre Dame? And if you do it in a large fashion, that may be the end of Sam Pittman's reign here at Arkansas.
All right, Brian, who's the best team in the state of Texas right now?
Ooh, it's a great question. I will give you two answers. The best team in the state of Texas currently, Texas Tech. And here's why. One, it's very hard to beat the salary that they've got going on right now. Like I said, Cody Campbell's got that primed and juiced and pumped full of money, and they're basically grabbing whoever it is that they want off of any roster at this point. But here's the caveat. Baron Morton, as we alluded to earlier, hurt, ends up out of the game out of Utah. Will Hammond, from a small town out of Austin, ends up coming on in to replace Baron Morton and basically shows out, if you will, in this game. And so Will Hammond from Little Hutto High School there in Austin, Texas, ends up coming in. And basically the way he replaced Baron Morton last year looked as good. And so if you do have issues with Baron Morton, I think Will Hammond will be able to go ahead and help his team win. But I think you really got to look on the defensive side of the ball when it comes to Texas Tech. Jacob Rodriguez, Lee Hunter, Romello Height. When you start to take a look at this defense, it is up there with one of the best defenses in all of college football. And at this point in time, Texas Tech ranked 12th in the nation, probably a little bit of disrespect there. I told you I was going to give you two Texas teams. The second best team in Texas, in my eyes at this point, the TCU Horned Frogs. We can go ahead and laugh about this all we want, but folks, if you have not seen them play yet, take a look at what Josh Hoover has done with this team. He was a couple of yards away from hitting 4,000 last year. In three games this year, he's already at 1,000. And in terms of their schedule, I do like their schedule moving forward. This is the huge test this week on Friday night. They're at Arizona State, the defending Big 12 champion. They're on Fox. You can go ahead and catch that game there. But TCU is probably the underlying 3-0 team that I've got that might surprise some people this year.
Fantastic report, Brian. You killed it. We could do another segment or two with you easily, so we'll have to do that again some other time, real soon. Appreciate you. Have a great week.
Boys, have a great day.
Salute. Brian Dantzel covers college football for Elite Media Network. And yeah, TCU's a 2.5-point dog Friday night at Arizona State. Yeah, that's a massive game to kick off your weekend.
That is going to be a massive game. I'm really surprised they didn't say North Texas is the best team.
Yeah, baby. We might have the best quarterback.
A lot of good candidates. We'll get Mark Schlereth's thoughts on week three. Looking forward to week four of your NFL season coming up next. We'll get Sting.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. you get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here in the nation. Yes, sir. It's time for a conversation with our Odyssey NFL insider, Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. And good afternoon, Stink. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Well, you know, it's tough with two more big injuries. Let's just talk about the NFL at large here to open it up. I was thinking Green Bay and Baltimore was going to be my Super Bowl pick, but this weekend, last night, kind of stopped me in my tracks. What are you thinking right now? Who's your Super Bowl matchup?
Yeah, who knows? Like you mentioned, the health. I mean, who's going to be healthy at the end of the year? And isn't it crazy? Doesn't it seem like the further we get away from practice and, you know, we want to protect everybody and we can't play in pads and, you know, we can't hit anybody and this, oh, we got to protect, you know, the helmet to helmet and all the garbage that we have, you know, all the just legislating contact out of a contact sport and guys are hurt more now than ever. Does it not feel that way? Mm. Every time I look up, somebody tears an Achilles tendon or tears an ACL or does something that keeps them out of the game. So it's insane. Like I always say, man, football is hard for athletes. It's much easier for football players. And the only way you can play, the only way you can get good at football is by practicing football. It just seems like the further we get away from that, the more injured and more out everybody is.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now the Cowboys having to go without their right guard and their center and their two tackles are giving up quite a bit of pressure and no CeeDee Lamb. Like, is there still hope that they can figure it out and make the playoffs, or are we looking at the offseason already?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it. I mean, there's always hope, but I mean, first and foremost, you can't give up big plays on the defensive side of the ball like it's your job. Like every time I turn around, it's like an episode of Oprah. Like, you get a 40-yard touchdown, you get a 30-yarder, you get a 20-yarder. It is one after the other after the other. And, you know, I joked around on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. You know, it's nice that Eberflus finally got good play out of Caleb Williams. That was really nice to see. So he after a year of just absolute dog do, he finally got Caleb Williams playing at a top notch level. So good for Eberflus for getting that done. But like, I mean, now that you're injured on the offensive side of the ball and you can't stop anybody on defense, I just don't know how. I mean, I don't know how you're going to be okay, but you know, it doesn't feel that way at all, and certainly a pass rush would be nice on occasion, but you gave that guy up to Green Bay, so I don't know what we're going to do here.
Is Jadeveon Clowney doing anything for you?
No. I mean, Jadeveon could give you a player here, a player or two every now and again. I seem to be the official broadcaster of the NFC South, so I've done a lot of Carolina games, and he was there. Last year, and he led their team in pressures, and like he can play, he can still get that done, but you know it's one of those situations where he's really got to be managed properly. Like you can't ask him to go out and give you 45 or 50 snaps because there's gonna be you know a handful of those snaps that he's not gonna produce on. So I think you have to be really good about managing his reps. So that you can get the best out of Jadeveon Clowney because he's been around a long time.
It's a tale of two seasons for a couple of quarterbacks in that AFC West. Herbert playing lights out, Bo Nix struggling a little bit. What do you make of it?
Yeah, Bo Nix certainly has not played very well, and Bo Nix it's interesting. You know, he missed three deep balls last weekend. All three of them should have been touchdowns. missed on all three of them. And, you know, it's not just that. It's the frenetic nature that he plays with. They ran a flea flicker, and he literally sprints up the pocket and throws the ball just over the outstretched fingertips of Mims. And while he's running up in the pocket, he actually ran into his center when he threw the ball. And, like, it's one after the other, just off-target throws where it just looks like he is so sped up. And the other thing to me that has been really, just really apparent is your lack of kind of awareness. Like, you'll get a 2-yard run or a 1-yard run, and they have not run the ball very effectively. But then it's second down and 10 or second down and 9, and you'll pass up a check down for 4 or 5 and throw an incomplete pass. And so now it's third down and 9, third down and 10. They had 13 third downs last weekend, and I think they had 10 or 11 that were 3rd and 8+. You're just not going to win very many ball games doing that.
Stink, with the Cowboys situation, Dallas running the ball better, you know, with Williams, and he's given them a lot. But is it, when you're down two linemen with, like, the center and the right guard, is it more about the scheme there, or is it about the players from what you've, you know, had an opportunity to see?
Well, when you're down doing that, I mean, how do you go about winning a ball game? Like, this is all about winning a ball game. And
sure,
when you're going with backup offensive linemen, and I will just tell you, it's a place where NFL teams, it's one of the big changes in the NFL, offensive line. So one of the things that we used to keep in my time was a bunch of guys who are veteran offensive linemen that that could come in and play well. We had a guy by the name of Ray Brown. I don't know if you remember Ray Brown or not, but played 20 years in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, Ray Brown didn't take a snap for us until his 6th year in the league in Washington.
Wow.
And he ended up playing 20 years. He was so experienced by the time he got in to play games. And so all our guys, Mark Addicks was my roommate. Mark Addicks started for the Chiefs for 4 years before he came over to Washington to back up. Yeah, Baylor kid. So that's the way it used to be. Now, one of the places teams save money, and this is endemic of the league in general, it's not the Cowboys, is they save money by keeping guys who can't play, by guys who are young, and they say, hey, we're going to develop. And, well, how do you develop an offensive lineman when you don't ever practice in pads? Mm. And so they put those guys in, and they melt down. So you have to think about how you operate as a franchise and how you operate when you put young guys in. My first game I ever played was against the Philadelphia Eagles. They were the number one defense in football. On the road, as a rookie, I start. And we ended up having a couple different guys play, young guys, because we had some injuries. We ran the ball, I believe, like, I could be exaggerating a little bit, but I think we ran it 52 times or 49 times. It was something insane. And we ended up winning that game against the number one defense in football, 10-3.
Yeah.
And obviously possessed the ball and did all those things. And I know it's a little bit different time in the NFL, but the bottom line is that's what you have to do if you're going to protect young guys who are getting an opportunity to play.
Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Did the Raiders maybe make a mistake taking Jeanty so early if they can't create any holes for him?
I think Jeanty is going to be a really good player. And he is he reminds me of Mo Jones-Drew. He's like a little bowling ball of butcher knives. Like, that kid is going to be good. He's got to learn how to run in the NFL. Like, what conference did he play in at Boise State? You know, you're not playing in that division. This is the NFL, and you can't cut back into unblocked guys, and you just can't run everybody over. You have to learn how to play Mountain West. That's what I was looking for. Sorry. You have to learn to play NFL football. And that means you have to fall in love with appetizers. You can't order your main course first. You got to get 4 or 5-yard gains, 4-yard, 2-yard, 3-yard, 4-yard, 6-yard, 5-yard, 4-yard. And then all of a sudden you break that 48-yarder or that 50-yarder. But you can't be trying to pop a 50-yarder every time you touch the ball. Those things come naturally as you wear a defense down. So he's going to have to figure that aspect of it out. But beyond that, they couldn't block their way out of a wet paper sack. I mean, I don't think Washington is the most talented front. I think Frankie Louvu is a good player. I think Dorrance is a good player. You guys remember Dorrance Armstrong.
Yeah.
He's
right
a
now.
Good player. But he's not like a trained – like, he's not like a trained war daddy guy. He's not a guy like, oh, my God, how are we going to block this guy? And that said, I mean, Daron Payne's a damn good player for Washington. But the bottom line is – They ran through the Raiders offensive front line like crap through a goose. I mean, they didn't block anybody, and it was a hard thing to watch. 202 yards rushing for Washington in that particular game.
Speaking of blocking guys, with Micah coming in, do you do anything special to make sure that he doesn't have his game of the year and the highlight of SportsCenter welcoming him back so soon?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those where every time you break the huddle, it is, where is number one and how are we going to block that guy? Because he is unbelievable, and he's had some juice. I did not watch all of the Cleveland game that they lost, but in the first two games, the juice, like, I was just like, whatever pineapple juice that guy's on, I want some. I need some of whatever the energy drink that is. I'll take two, please. I mean, talk about getting shot out of a rocket. That dude has been on fire. And it's interesting. You know, as a player, I always looked at one of the things I always did is I made our film guys give me sideline film. And there's two reasons for sideline film, because you don't normally watch that as an offensive lineman, the all 22. But you can see the depth of defensive players in their stances, because defensive players can't help but cheat. That's who they are. They want to get sacked so bad. Sacks are more important than anything else to those guys. So they cheat their stunts. You know, one guy will be back a little bit, one guy will be up a little bit. I bet you over the course of my 12-year career starting in this league, I probably called stunts, whether they were tackle end, end tackle stunts, I probably called them at a 90%, like a 90% success rate. Like, this is when it's coming. And part of it is because I studied that stuff all the time. Then the other thing that I would study sideline tape for is because you can see who the first guy off the ball is. The first guy off the ball is 100% of the time the best player they have. And when you watch Micah Parsons, he's into a second step off the ball before a lot of guys get their hands out of the dirt. It's remarkable to watch him jump the cadence, jump the snap count. I know he's just quick and athletically gifted, but I don't know how he's got that big of a jump. He's got to be reading something. It's next level stuff.
Thank you, Mark. Enjoy week four of the NFL season. We'll catch you up next Tuesday.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Cheers. It's Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Always interesting.
I just love it.
Some of the one-liners are fantastic. The goose poo. I'll have what he's
having.
That poo
through a goose?
Yeah.
Have you been around the pond? You see what the geese do?
Yeah.
He is so right on that one, man. No,
they attack Broadus, and then they just dump all over the place.
All over the place, for sure.
All right, we got three down, 1.5 to go. LA Live's coming up in about 45 minutes. G-Bag of the Day at 5:30. Chief, what's next?
Football's finest, why PETA is not happy with the GOAT, plus some football clips of the day. We got Myles Garrett and the Manning Bros next in the nation.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.